Book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16. And Matthew chapter 16, before we start reading, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and ask that you pray with me that God just have his hand on the service this morning, that his name be honored and glorified. Father, Lord, I thank you for the chance to be here this morning. I thank you for a chance to teach your word, Father, and to preach Jesus. And I just pray that over these next few minutes, dear God, it's not my time, it's your time. And I pray that your word, Father, will have its way in each and every single heart that's here and everyone that hears it, dear God, that the Holy Spirit would use it to work in their hearts, Father. I pray for those who aren't saved, who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that, Father, you would reach down and draw them to you, that they would realize their need for a Savior and that they would get saved. And those who are saved, dear God, that you would draw us closer to you into a sweeter fellowship with you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, if you have your Bibles, to stand for the reading of God's word. If you don't want to, you don't have to, but if you'd like to just stand with us, we're going to read out of Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse number 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You can have a seat this morning. Tonight I'd like to preach a message to you titled, Thou Art the Christ. As Jesus asked his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. There are some interesting things that I would like to point out through these passages of Scripture, some thoughts that Jesus asked his disciples. In verse 13, he says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And then he asked his disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And what's interesting to me about this is when I think about Jesus, I'm constantly thinking, what does he think about me? I'm constantly wanting to know, is my life pleasing to him? What does God see when he looks down at me, when he looks at my heart? And I'm constantly concerned about, what does he think about me? As every Christian should, we should be worried about what does God think about us. When he looks down at us and he sees our heart, when he sees what's going on through our mind, when he sees our actions, what does he see? And I want God to be pleased with what he sees. I think every Christian ought to have a desire for Christ to be pleased when he looks down and he sees us, when he sees what we're doing, when he sees what we're thinking, when he sees how our hearts are towards him. We want God to be pleased with those things. But it's interesting to me that in this portion of Scripture, we see Jesus asking, what does man think of him? Amen. Now it thrills my heart to know that Jesus wants us to know him. That Jesus wants the world to know him. And Jesus is concerned about what we think about him. Why would Jesus care what we think about him? Why does Jesus want the world to know who that he is? Now, we live in a world where a lot of people want to be known. A lot of people want their name to be known. An athlete might want their name to be known. An entertainer might want their name to be known. But they want their name to be known for selfish reasons. They want you to maybe buy their music, to maybe watch their entertainment, whatever it might be. But they want to be known for selfish and prideful reasons. But I want to tell you this morning that God doesn't need you to help boost his ego. Amen. God's not looking for us to get to know him so that he can feel better about himself. It's not a sense of pride that he needs from you and I, that why he wants us in the world to know him. But I can remember that when my children were born and they were just babies, I can remember the thought crossing my mind sometimes that if something was to happen to me now, my kids would not know who that I was. And not that it was like a fear of mine, or but the thought would cross my mind that if something happened to me right now, man, my kids would not remember me. And I know, remember thinking that, man, I want my kids to know who I am. I want to have a relationship with my kids, and I want them to know that I'm their dad. Out of love. And when God looks down and he wants us to know who he is, it's out of love. God wants us to know that he is our creator. God wants us to know that he's our best friend. And I see that God looks down on us and he wants us to know who he is. And when I look at everything that's going on in the world, when I see the chaos, when I see the violence, when I see the pride, when I see the perversion, when I look at my own life and I see my own downfalls, and to think that Jesus still wants me to know him. Amen. I'm reminded in Psalms chapter 8, verse 4, David said this, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Psalm 144, verse 3 says, "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him?" What is man that the Lord should take knowledge of him, that the Lord is mindful of him? But even though God looks down and he sees our wickedness, our sin, he still wants us to know who he is. Amen. God wants the world to know who he is. Yes. Can I tell you that the world out there, the lost world, they need Jesus. Why do they need Jesus, you ask? I tell you, you would be surprised that living right here in the United States, the people that don't know Jesus, the people who don't know who he is. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In verse 14 it says, and they said, "Some say that they're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. Some say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." There was a misconception of who he was. And some people, even though they heard of Jesus, they didn't know exactly who he was. And I would say to you that there's a lot of people in America, they've heard the name Jesus, they know something of him, but they still don't know exactly who he is. They don't realize that he is the Son of God. They don't realize that he is their creator. They don't realize that he is the judge, that they will stand before one day and give an account before him. And they don't know that. They don't know who Jesus is. But God wants us to know who he is. The whole reason that God performed miracles when Jesus walked this earth, the miracles that he performed, was to prove that he was the Son of God. Jesus did not perform these miracles as entertainment. He did not perform these miracles to show off. He performed these miracles for one reason: the proof he was who he said he was. You're in Matthew. Go ahead and back up to Matthew chapter 9. I just want to read some things to you. And we're going to be jumping around a little bit in our Bible tonight. So be ready. So in Matthew chapter 9, we're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth." Verse 4 says, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk?" Verse 6 says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. Amen. The reason that Jesus performed miracles was so that they might know when he performed this particular miracle, he didn't perform it necessarily just for this man that was sick of the palsy. It wasn't just for his physical healing, but Jesus could have said, hey, take up thy bed and walk. And Jesus could have simply performed the miracle. But instead of just healing him physically, he healed his spiritual need and said unto him, thy sins be forgiven, knowing that this was going to trigger the scribes and the Pharisees that were there. Because they said, why were they so confused? Because they thought that Jesus was just a man. And here you have Jesus boldly taking that stand in front of them and not just saying, arise, take up thy bed and walk, but to look at him and say, son, thy sins be forgiven of thee. And now these scribes, their ears poke up and say, who is this man that thinks that he can forgive sins? And Jesus tells them, he says, that you may know that the Son of Man, he's showing them, I'm not just a man. I'm not just a teacher. I'm not just another prophet that's here before you. But I performed this miracle. This man is going to get up and he's going to walk and he is going to be a testimony that I am who I said I am. I am the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man. And I have the power to forgive sins. And he told that man, take up thy bed and walk. And verse 8 says, but when the multitude saw it, the Bible says that they marveled and they glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They were starting to get a glimpse. This wasn't just another man. If you look in John chapter 2, I want to tell you why I believe that Jesus performed his very first miracle. John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, those of you familiar with your Bible, you know that Jesus' first miracle was performed at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. As Jesus was attending this marriage with his disciples, the Bible says that they ran out of wine. And that if you know that Mary, she went to Jesus, told him, you know that they have ran out of wine. In verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, Jesus' ministry has not yet began. He has not stepped onto the scene. He says, you know, my time's not come yet. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I just want to stop right there and pause for a second and say the only commandment that Mary ever gave in the Bible is right here in verse 5 when she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I read a gospel tract one time and it was specifically made to Catholics and it said, what is the only commandment that Mary ever gave, and the only commandment she gave is whatsoever he says, do it. And it went through the plan of salvation. Now, the only commandment she says, whatsoever Jesus says, do it. So we know this story that verse 6, they took 6 water pots of stone, they filled them with water. And in verse 8, then saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11 says, this is the beginning of miracles, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and listen, and manifested forth his glory. And the Bible says, and his disciples believed on him. I believe with all my heart, before Jesus began his ministry, he attended this wedding, he performed this miracle, and it looks like not many people, this wasn't an open miracle. This wasn't open for everyone at the feast to see. You see, the governor of the feast, as he tasted the wine, he had no idea of the miracle. But the servants knew, and his disciples knew, and the Bible says that the disciples believed on him. And I believe that Jesus performed this first miracle just to start showing the disciples and giving them a glimpse that he's not just another man. And every miracle that Jesus performed, you can go through and read. When he got done, and it says, and after this miracle, many believed on his name. I like when the disciples were out in the sea and the storm came and they were out rowing, remember? And they were scared. And Jesus, where was Jesus? He was down sleeping in the boat. And they went to Jesus. They said, "Hey, Jesus," they said, "don't you care that we're about to perish?" They woke him up. And the Bible says that Jesus just stood up and he said, "Peace be still." And the Bible says that the winds and the seas, they just stopped.
That's right.
And I would really love to have been on that boat. And I can just picture, as Jesus said, "Peace be still." Have you ever been out on the water when it's calm? And there's not even a ripple across the water. That water looks like glass. And I can imagine as the waves were big, as soon as Jesus said, "Peace be still," that there was a calmness. And I believe it went from the waves being boisterous to not even a ripple. I believe that it looked. But the Bible says after he did that, they said, "Who is this that even the wind and seas obey him?" Jesus performed that miracle just to give them a little glimpse that, hey, I even control the winds and the sea. I am who I said I am. That's why Jesus performed these miracles. You're in John. Look in John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, Bible says, verse 30, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book." Verse 31. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name."
Amen.
Every miracle Jesus performed was so he could prove that he was the Christ. And not only was it written for those that were alive watching the miracles, but they were recorded. And they were recorded so you and I could know that Jesus was who he said he was. Many have come and tried to profess who they were. Many have come and professed to be God. Many have come and to profess to be the Christ. But only Jesus has the power to do the things that he did. Remember when Nicodemus come to Jesus at night, he says, "Surely thou art come for God, because no man can do the things that you have done unless he come from God." All the miracles Jesus did, he did it for one reason, so you might know who he is. Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says this, the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, we'll start in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." In the Great Commission, Jesus said this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What are we supposed to be teaching all nations? Listen, we are supposed to be teaching, starting here in Knoxville and reaching out, teaching people that Jesus is the Christ. Listen, if you read about the apostles and Paul, as they went into city preaching the Gospels, it says that they went into synagogues daily doing what? Proving that Jesus was the Christ. As they went to city preaching, and I love hearing good preaching, and I think we need to preach on things that are going around and social things. But what we really need, what America needs behind the pulpit, is preachers preaching that Jesus is the Christ and proving and showing his gospels, showing the miracles that he's performed and telling people that Jesus is the Christ. They need to know that he is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God. They need to know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He was who he said he was. And why do they need to know that? Because they need to know if Jesus was who he said he was, then you will have to answer to him one day. They will have to give an account to him one day. But people are living their lives as though they will not have to stand before him one day. They are living their lives as though they will not have to give an account for their lives or for their actions. But I'm here to tell you, they will one day stand before Jesus in judgment, and they need to know who he is. Not only do they need to know that they're going to stand before him one day, And they need to know about the judgment of God, but they need to know about the love of God. Amen. They need to know that a lot of times when people think of Christianity, they think about God's judgment, and they think about God's wrath, and they think that's all what Christianity is consumed with, but they need to know that God does not want to pour out His wrath on you. God would rather forgive you. The whole reason that Jesus left heaven and came to this earth and died on the cross is because instead of you experiencing God's wrath in judgment for your sin, He would rather you seek the forgiveness of God. The Bible says in Isaiah, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they might be white as snow." And the world needs to know that there is forgiveness with God, and it's up to you and I, the church, to reach out to them. You and I as Christians, we need to have a heart for telling other people about Jesus that they might know who He is. Amen. It was this subject that the Lord used to get hold of my heart when I was 16 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. I heard about heaven and I heard about hell and I knew the Bible. I knew the stories in the Bible. But it was when I was 16 years old, all of a sudden I started thinking about hell and the reality of it, and it just sank in, and God got hold of my heart that there are people out there right now that are dying and going to hell. And I asked myself, what am I doing to help them? What am I doing to warn them? I thought about many of the friends that I had at that time that were lost and didn't know Jesus, and I thought to myself, what am I doing to reach them? What am I doing to share the gospel with them that they might know who that He is? I can remember the high school that I went to was very crowded. I can remember that in between classes, as we would pass through those hallways, it was hard to get through because there was just so many people there. And I remember one time I stood at the hallway, and I'm looking down this hallway I got to go through, and it's just crowded with people. And it just crossed my mind, how many of these people are there? I said, Lord, if You'll use me, I'll be a witness for You. If You'll open the door, I'll witness to whoever I can in this school. And I would pray. I'd say, God, please open the door for me to share Your word and let people know who You are and that there's forgiveness with You. But Jesus told us to go out and to spread the gospel. People need to know who Jesus is. They need to know that He's their Savior. They need to know that there's forgiveness for sins. So you're in Matthew. Go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 16. We'll go back to our verse, to our text. So in Matthew chapter 16, looking in verse 15. So Jesus had asked the disciples, "Who saved men that I, the Son of Man, am?" In verse 15, He asked them, "But whom say ye that I am?" I was thinking about that as He was talking to His disciples. And He asked about, "Who say men that I am?" And they start saying, "Hey, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the other prophets." And then He looked at him and He said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And I got a question for you this morning. If Jesus was standing here today and He was to look at you and ask you, "Who say ye that I am?" Who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus just your Sunday morning friend? If He asked you, "Who say ye that I am?" We might know what the answer is in the Bible. We might be able to look at Him and say, "Well, you're the Creator. Well, you're God. You're the Savior of the world." And He'd say, "Yeah, I'm all those things. But what am I to you? You know all the facts about me. You know what the Bible teaches about me. But what am I to you?" And I ask you today, what is Jesus to you? Is He your best friend? Is He someone that you truly worship with all of your heart? There's an old saying that said, if He's not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. Have you truly given God your life? Does He own? Have you given Him every part? Is there anything in your life that's displeasing to Him? When we sing about Him being our friend and Friend that sticketh closer than a brother. How much do we seek Him during the week? How much do we read His Word? What is He to you? Are you a part-time Christian? I just want you to think about it. Jesus looked at the disciples. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" Then He asked the disciples, "But who do you say that I am? What am I to you? And what is Jesus to you?" Peter answers that question and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Bible says in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon. He says, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But he says, blessed. That word blessed or happy. Happy are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. Blessed. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says, blessed. Blessed or happy are you. I just want to say that true happiness and true peace comes when we really understand who Jesus is. When I read about, I was telling our teenagers the other day, Wednesday night, when you read about John the disciple, John was one of the disciples who truly understood who Jesus was. Peter was a disciple that always opened his mouth at the wrong time. Peter was always quick to speak out. Peter was always quick to say, "Hey, Lord, I would do this or I wouldn't do that." Peter was always so quick to talk. But if you read through your Gospels, John is never really saying a whole lot through the Gospels. John, in other words, John is always looking at Jesus in amazement. John is always looking at Jesus in awe, because I think John is one of the only disciples who from the beginning of time truly recognized who Jesus was. And all he wanted to do was sit there and just soak Him in. I think that's why at the Last Supper, John was leaning on his breast. John was always that disciple that Jesus loved. Because John truly understood who Jesus was. And he just soaked Him in. And if we could ever get to where we really understand who that Jesus is, that He wants to live inside of us, that He wants to guide us, that He wants to speak to us. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." Right. Have you heard His voice? Are you looking for it? Are you listening for it? Are you seeking His face? Jesus asked His disciples, "But who am I to you? Who do you say that I am?" So we see this morning, God has a desire for the world to know who He is. And it's our job. It's the church's job. When I say the church, I don't mean just Northside Baptist Church. It's not this building's job to tell the world about Him. But the church is you and I. The ones that are sitting in this pew is the one that's standing up here. You and I are the church. And it's our job to go out and tell other people about Jesus and make sure that they know who He is. And not only should we make sure that the world knows who He is, we need to make sure that you and I know who He is, that we have a relationship with Him. If Jesus was to ask you this morning, "But whom say ye that I am?" What is Jesus to you? What is He? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? He's your best friend. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to take a minute and just share the gospel and let you know what we need to go let the world know. The Bible says that for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have got sin in our life. Every one of us has fallen short and have committed sin. And that sin keeps us separated from God. That sin keeps us separated from God, and there was nothing that we could do about it. There's nothing that we could do to make our sin go away. You can't attend enough church. You can't tithe enough. You can't live a good enough life to make your sin go away. And because of that, the God of heaven, He come down to this earth. There's an old saying that says that He paid a debt that He didn't owe because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die for his sins. Jesus lived a perfect life, never sinned one time. But he lived a perfect life, and because of that, he became a lamb without blemish that was able to give his life as a sacrifice, as a substitute for you and me. The Bible says that he died on a cross, was laid in a tomb, and 3 days later he rose again. And now he is ascended back into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father. And the Bible says that if we believe that we are sinners and we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and if we confess our sins, that he will forgive us of our sins. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say you might be saved. It doesn't say you got a better chance of being saved. It says that you shall be saved. You can know for sure this morning that you're going to heaven. If you're sitting in Northside or if you're watching online, I just want you to know this. You can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, then all you got to do is pray, ask God to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins. And the Bible says if we do that, the Bible says you shall be saved. Okay, so Brother Scott's going to come and lead us in a song. I just want to invite you, if you want to come up and pray this morning, if you have someone you know that needs to know Jesus, they need to know who that he is, then I want to give you this time to come up and pray for them. If you realize this morning that maybe you don't know Jesus the way that you want to, your relationship with him isn't as close as it used to be or what it could be, then we want to give you a chance to come up here this morning and pray to God and draw closer to him. The Bible says if we draw close to him, that he'll draw nigh to us. So, Brother Scott, we'll turn this over to you.